Today's message title is Remember Me. Good morning, everyone. Today is Holy Communion service. Holy Communion is very important for us who believe in God and confess Jesus Christ as our Savior. We tend to forget important things, so today we'd like to take time to reflect on the meaning of this sacrament. Let's open Luke chapter 22 from verse 19 to 20. Luke chapter 22, verse 19 to 20. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Amen. The words are from Jesus' last meal with his disciples the night before his crucifixion. After Jesus broke bread and said that it was his body, he gave the command, Remember me and do this. For 2,000 years, the church has kept these commands of Jesus, and he carefully administered the sacrament. The title of today's message, Remember Me, is an excerpt from this text, which is actually the only place in the Bible where these words are found. This event called the Last Supper also appears in Matthew's Gospel and Mark's Gospel. However, the phrase, Remember Me, is not found in either Matthew's or Mark's Gospels. Why does Luke use the phrase, Remember Me, here? The answer seems to lie in the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel was written by a disciple named Luke, who was a doctor and a scientist. Perhaps because of this background, Luke's Gospel is characterized by his close observation and detailed description of things, and through it all, he particularly emphasizes the life of a discipleship. He emphasizes what it means to confess Jesus Christ as one Savior, to believe in him, and to follow him along. Only in such a Gospel of Luke is the expression Remember Me recorded. I believe that this is a message that those who walk as Jesus' disciples are those who remember Jesus Christ. to remember Jesus Christ, to remember what He is doing for us. This is what those who confess Jesus as their Savior, believe, and follow Christ alone must not forget. This time, let us focus on remember me and confirm who I, that is Jesus, am, and what we are to remember in the sacrament. Let us first consider what kind of person Jesus is. Luke chapter 8, verse 22 through 25. Of course, there are many testimony in the Bible, but let's look at Luke chapter 8. Verse 22 through 25. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storms subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him." The text is part of a passage of describes events during Jesus' missionary work in Galilee. Jesus crossed the Lake of Galilee to go to a Gentile land called Gerasa. The Lake of Galilee is a lake that is minus 200 meters below sea level, and the lake was surrounded all sides by mountains and hills of high elevation. Therefore, sudden and violent gusts of wind were common. In particular, when large winds would occur in the surrounding mountains, their effect would cause the waves in the lower elevation Lake of Galilee to blow over. Lake Galilee was also a lake that attracted many fishermen. The fishing industry was thriving in order to support the food supply of the surrounding communities. The fishermen would have been troubled by the gusty winds as they fished. However, the gusts were very violent at this time. Some of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. they must have had a lot of experience on Lake Galilee, but they were in panic and woke up the sleeping Jesus. From this, we can infer that the gust of wind that blew at the time was very fierce. If you read verse 23, you will see that Jesus and the disciples are in contrasting state. While disciples were panicking and preparing for death, Jesus was sleeping. Jesus was Son of God, but he came to this world as a man. Therefore, it was necessary for him to sleep. By sleeping, we know that Jesus was among human beings as a human being. To have lived as a man is also to die as a man. In the face of the storm, the disciples contemplated the possibility of death. Of course, as a human being, Jesus also had the possibility of dying. Jesus is sleeping in such a situation. The wind was howling, the water was lashing, and no matter how much noise the disciples made, he would not wake up. He knew that Jesus here was at peace in the midst of the storm. I believe it was because of his trust in God, even in the face of the danger and the fear of death. We can receive peace if we turn our eyes to God. Jesus has weakness as human being, but he have faith to God. Let's look at verse 24. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Jesus Christ was a human being, but he was also God. The word rebuke, if you check the Greek Bible, is in the third person singular. What we want to focus on here is object of this third person. In the Bible, this word appears often, but when it has Jesus as the subject, the object were Peter, the demons, the heat, and the lake. It means that Jesus had the right to rebuke man, this disease, and nature. This word revealed that Jesus had the power to conquer all things in the world This is the first time in Mark's Gospel that Jesus performs a miracle, and this miracle shows that Jesus is not a great man, but the Son of God. Man is so helpless before nature, but Jesus rebuked the wind. Then the wind died down, and it became completely calm. Calm means that there is not a single tremor on the surface of the water. The lake, which had been raging so wildly, became without single wave because of Jesus' words. Here we see Jesus as the Son of God. What man cannot do, God can do. That is why no matter what hardship we are going through, no matter what storms are raging in our lives, those who believe in Jesus can rely on Him. The disciples called Jesus as master to them. Jesus was a master or teacher, a person, not a powerful conqueror of nature. So verse 25. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples in fear and amazement. They asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. A literal translation of the disciples' word would be, if so, who is this man? The disciples have not yet been able to know exactly who Jesus is. Through the events of today's text, they begin to question their previous perception. They do not have faith yet at this time. But not yet also means that it's not yet decided how they will change. Anyone can be changed and gain faith by seeing, hearing, experiencing Jesus. Who in the world is this person? The answer to this question will depend on whether you have faith or not. The Gospels and indeed the Bible testify again and again that Jesus is the true God and the true man. Jesus Christ is the true and only man, and more powerful than all creation, who is also the true God. Let us first remember this Jesus, the one who is God and yet became man. That is Jesus we believe in. He is the one who loved mankind, who took on human form, and who loved mankind so much that He became man. It is Jesus, the true God and the true man, who we should remember. So what is about Jesus that we should remember? Let's look at Luke chapter 22, verse 19 through 20. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Jesus knew that he would eventually be crucified. He knew that his flesh would be torn and his blood would flow. The cross is a symbol of death. It is a symbol of sin, suffering, shame, and above all, defeat. The cross is worst way. The cross is worst way. To kill person. Jesus tells his disciples to remember the flesh and the blood that will be torn on the cross. Why? It will be a new covenant, the symbol of death, the symbol of sin, the symbol of suffering, the symbol of shame, becomes something completely new because of what Jesus Christ, our Savior, has done. The Heidelberg Catechism, which are very familiar to the Japanese church, have this as the 18th question. Question: Who then is a mediator? Who is both true God and the true just man? Answer: Our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who has been given to us for our perfect redemption and righteousness. In the Heidelberg Catechism, Jesus is described as the mediator. The mediator means the one who, as a true man, because before God, has earned man's righteousness and life by submitting to the penalty of sin, suffering the curse of law, and fulfilling the demands of the law. Jesus died on the cross, then symbol of sins became symbol of forgiveness of sin. It is because of our Savior Jesus Christ, by the rending of his flesh and the shedding of his blood on the cross, our sins were forgiven. We are now and always be forgiven of our sins. Man is in a state of depravity through disobedience to God. No one can escape from his sin by his own strength. No matter how hard he tries, he will never be able to do so. Complete obedience to God is necessary for man to be redeemed from sin, which is also impossible for sinful man. For these reasons, the one whose divine nature and human nature are in accord with each other is the Savior. It is Jesus, who is truly God and truly man, who becomes our Savior and Redeemer. Jesus says to his disciples, "Remember me and do this." Do we want to be his disciples? Then let us remember Jesus as our Savior and Mediator with God. I honestly desire that we will be those who remember the meaning of Jesus' ripped flesh and blood. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise your name. Dear God, we are sinners before you. We don't have way to escape from sins, but you send true Savior, true God to us. We thank you. You save us because of Jesus crucified. Please let us remember the meaning of Jesus' flesh and blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'd like to begin Holy Communion service. Before the night he died on the cross, he took the new covenant sister and brothers, you already got baptized, you can have this sacrament. You are invited, and other people are all invited. This is invitation for you. We expect you are going to breathe someday. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise your name. Jesus Christ had died on the cross. We thank you. May we can remember you. Please let us accept your flesh and blood, and we know we can know your meaning, your sacrifice, and please make us new one. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.